You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode, and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. Okay, I'm here with the Jacob Dickey.
Hello.
Jacob, there's a couple other Jacob Dickeys out in the world. Did you know this?
No.
So there's a jacobdickey.com. I was doing my research on you, you know, and I was like, all right, let's see his website.
Okay.
So I go to jacobdickey.com, and it's a meteorologist from Minneapolis. And he has a reel. So
yeah.
At first I was like, oh, he's an actor. But no, his reel was his, like, of him saying the weather, like stuff like that.
That's incredible.
And his first part of the reel is him as a child pretending to be a weatherman. And then it goes into him being a real weatherman.
I mean, I give him credit for creativity. That's
good,
that's
right?
That's cute. And that's like lifelong dream fulfilled.
You have like a middle name in your...
I do, website. Probably because he had that, because Jacob Dickey wasn't available, so I never checked why.
There's another website with a Jacob Dickey with a middle name. Can't remember what it is. And he was a film actor, older than you, and not nearly as good looking.
Oh, bless you.
There is another Jacob Dickey out there.
Another
as well.
Jacob Dickey actor.
So Jacob and I were chatting all things Instagram. Mm. A big thing happened in your life on May 1st of 2018. Do you remember what it was?
May 1st of 2018. What was that? That was last year. What was that? I have no idea.
Let's take a ride.
What was it?
It was the day you converted to white framed photos only on your timeline.
Okay. That's a big day. That is a big day.
Tell us. Now, I think you can tell a lot about a person from their Instagram,
sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Tell us your reasoning to the big switch.
The big switch. Truly so basic. I just saw my friend's Instagram and I was like, that looks cute.
Super cute.
And
right?
That was it.
It is. It's fresh.
I'm like, it's cute. It's fresh. It like looks nice when you look at it all together.
Is it ever limiting though?
I don't think it's limiting.
Like, does it ever like manipulate? Oh, I wish there's more of this picture in there, but the frame makes it smaller.
No, I actually because it's a white frame, you can put more of the picture, I think. But also, I've had many people who actually like track likes and all that. Be like, you know, you get less likes if you have a white frame around
Why?
Your picture. I have no idea, and they don't know.
Just another.
But I don't really care.
Like, it was
just
stats.
Like, yeah, it's a stat for some reason when the eye passes it on a, who knows? But
yeah,
I still like it.
Okay.
Big deal.
Oh, I saw also on your Instagram, you don't do videos. You have two videos on your timeline.
Yeah.
A recent, or maybe even further back, but the two that I saw that were kind of recent was Courtney Reed. Y'all were smooching on stage. You were like shouting her out for something.
It was,
and,
I think it was
and then those
Huh?
I think it was her birthday.
It was her birthday. And then there's this huge bubble that you put on. It was a video. It was like
cute.
A boomerang bubble or something. You know those guys that blow the bubbles in the park?
It was in Central Park. Yeah.
Why the bubble? What made that so special that it was video worthy on your timeline of no videos?
I don't know. I don't really think out my Instagram that much, except besides I want it to look like it's in a frame.
Uh-huh.
But I do love those bubbles.
Yeah.
There's something very captivating about them. And I'm like, the picture doesn't fully capture what that moment is. And it's funny that you brought up the Courtney Reed, because I was just talking to her yesterday about that video. Because most Aladdins, actually all Aladdins, don't dip her when they kiss her. Mm. And that was just Courtney that day being like, hey, you should dip me because I'm kind of bored of the kiss.
Mm.
And so we did, and everyone freaked out.
And you're a big, strong man. Kissing her.
And now it's iconic and everyone wants to do it, but nobody does.
Because Disney will fire you for going aside from the blocking that was set.
Well, I haven't been fired yet. They didn't say anything about it.
But I know that they can be kind of tight-fisted with their stuff. Like, their stuff is their stuff, and, like, don't mess with their stuff.
They don't, you know, it's called a track for a reason.
Yeah, of course.
But they give you a little bit of freedom. I never got a note on that, so I think that's okay, as long as the lines are the same.
Yeah. Last thing about Instagram, liking scale, like, your scale of likes. Did your like data go up or down when the mustache started to make its Broadway debut?
I don't know if it changed. It made any difference.
It was indifferent. No big ups, no big downs.
I think that's right. I've gotten more compliments on it in real life from strangers.
There's like kind of a community, like when you're riding a motorcycle. You don't know anyone else riding motorcycles, but you wave to one another
because
you're in this biker community. I think the mustaches are the same.
I think so, too. No, I agree. That's exactly what I think.
I have a buddy who has a mustache. So when he's like, nice mustache, man. It's just like
It's usually always guys who I don't think are hitting on me. They're just like, that's a nice mustache.
Right.
And my boyfriend also has a mustache, so when we're walking together, it's a combo mustache situation, which is probably a lot for most people.
Right? You're like the teenage girls walking in the mall with matching t-shirts, but matching mustaches.
Yeah, matching mustaches.
You brought that to a whole new level.
We're trending.
So we talked about Aladdin a little bit.
Yeah.
Agrabah, right?
Agrabah.
How long have you been in the land of Agrabah?
Just
over 2 years.
Yes.
How's your stay been so far?
It's been incredible. It was my Broadway debut 2 years ago, and you know, I've been able to travel with it, and excuse me to say that I have my day job is Aladdin on Broadway is nuts. It's nuts. So, and the people are amazing. Like, I think that's probably part of that is the biggest reason that it makes it so great to work there, which is like right there.
Right.
Is because it's a family, and I enjoy going to work, and I laugh every day at work, so I cannot complain.
So I saw online that you got to, you went to Chicago to do your first, you were Aladdin? You played Aladdin on Broadway?
Yeah.
And then went and did Aladdin again in Chicago?
Yeah.
Or how did that go?
Yeah, so when I started, it was really odd time casting-wise because Adam Jacobs was leaving and they were waiting for Telly Leung to come in, and there was like a 3.5 month gap on Broadway. And so when I came in, Josh De La Cruz, who was one of the understudies at the time, had been playing Aladdin for about a month. And then I took over on Broadway for about a month as Aladdin. And then timing just worked out. Adam Jacobs had to take a medical leave from the tour. And so they just sent me right after, actually before I was supposed to finish my run as Aladdin on Broadway, they sent me out to Chicago for 2 months to play Aladdin on tour. And then I came back.
How have you found success in acting with difficult people?
I think you just have to be able to compartmentalize. I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing in my life, and by that I mean knowing that this person is not a great person off stage, but then being able to separate that from the person who's on stage. And just, you know, I've been blessed that I haven't had a person who is unprofessional and also a jerk. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
Most of the people I've worked with if they're not great off stage, they happen to be very professional on stage and still very good at their job.
Yeah.
So that is helpful.
It's one thing if you're an awful person but an amazing actor. It's another thing if you're an awful person and actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you're intolerable.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Bryant Park for the all-you-can-eat ice cream fair?
I have missed it both years since I've been working at Aladdin, and I forget, I think the first year I was Aladdin at the time, and I was so nervous about eating dairy, so I was like, no thank you,
yeah.
And this past year I just wasn't here for it, and everybody at Aladdin goes because they go between the two shows Saturday, they just run over and eat all the ice cream.
Is it possible? So yes. It is possible to make it.
Oh, yes.
You just didn't want to coach your cords in the wrong way.
Yeah.
You didn't want to get inflamed and like have a little belly with your shirtless vest on. You're not just Jacob Dickey, you're Big Ugly Jacob.
Yeah.
I have to bring it back to Instagram again. What's up with that, Big Ugly Jacob?
It was a moment in high school in drama class.
Bring
it way back. One of my best friends from high school, we were just playing like charades, and I was standing up on stage and I couldn't think of what to do, and she just yelled out Big Ugly Jacob, and then all my friends in high school, that was my nickname.
Did you take it?
Jacob. No, I never was offended
by
it.
Like, I don't want to be Big Ugly.
I'm not
Jacob.
Big or ugly.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
Which is why it was my email for a very long time, for far too long. And then
were you going into calls and getting callbacks? They're like, could you email us your resume?
Yes.
And it's like Big Ugly Jacob at AOL.com.
Yes. It was Big Ugly Jacob for probably my first year in New York. And then I was like, oh, I should change that.
Do you judge people that have an email address from AOL.com still?
Yes.
You do, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Unless you're over the age of 60, there's no excuse.
Yes.
There's no excuse.
Honestly, I have a problem because I sometimes judge people when they don't have a Gmail. Because I'm just like, why?
How do you feel about people judging people when a text comes through and it's green?
All right.
Got it.
I think this interview is done.
I think
I'm done with this interview.
But it is Google, though. We're talking about Gmail.
It is Google. It's a Google Pixel.
Google Pixel blah, 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 4 or 3.
3.
3.
The 4 is not out yet.
What's so good about this Pixel 3 Google thing in comparison to the iPhone?
I don't know. I just got it.
Wait, so you just got it on a whim? You're like, I'm just going to get it, see what happens.
No, we had done like a... My boyfriend and I both needed new phones. He hasn't had an iPhone for a while. I have had only iPhones. And then I just was like, whatever, you know? It's a good phone. It's got a good camera.
Have you been able to do the white framed Instagram photos okay with
it?
Oh,
don't worry. Yes.
It's okay.
Yes. Yes. And the camera's better, so.
Oh.
Higher definition.
Oh, well.
White frame.
Maybe I should get it then.
Maybe.
I wanted to ask you about the Prince of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that? That was in the middle of Aladdin, before it.
Prince of Egypt was this past summer, and it was a leave of absence from Aladdin.
I love when they let you do that, right?
Yeah.
It's really helpful.
It was amazing because. Yeah, technically, like, the rules didn't line up because I'd only been in the show for a year and you're supposed to be 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they made an exception, which is amazing. And it was a long time. I was out in Utah for 5.5 months.
Let's get deep and real. Before you made your Broadway debut.
Yeah.
How old were you when you debuted? Or don't tell me. You were
young. No, no, no. I was 20. I had just turned 26. How old am I now?
Okay, great.
Yeah, 26.
So you weren't like, you know, obviously you weren't like 22, like, hi, Broadway. 22.
No, not fresh out of college.
So tell us of some struggles, sometimes when you're like chasing that Broadway dream and, you know, how you made it there and what you had to overcome.
Well, when I graduated from a BA program in Virginia and I knew I didn't want to move. James Madison University. I knew I didn't want to move straight to New York. I just was like, I'm not feeling it. I want to be there eventually, but I'm not ready now. So I did, my first job out of college was a Charleston stage, which is in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was a resident actor for $200 a week.
Mm-hmm.
We did 9 shows in 10 months, and I also taught 3 classes a week to little children, learned that I do not want to be a teacher, but also made my best friend in the world, and it was amazing. Like, I don't know how we survived, but we just did. And Charleston is incredible, so that was fun.
I want to live in Charleston.
Oh, same. So that was my first job.
Man, if you broke that down by the hour, you're getting paid, what, 2 cents an hour? You're working for the Nike sweatshop?
Is that yes. What that was? And my best friend, who I'm still best friends with, we reminisce about it and truly have no idea how we survived. And we, like, lived. We went to brunch. We, like, you know, went out. Had no money. Absolutely no money.
Yeah.
But then after that, I had my first disappointment because I was pretty much promised a spot on a cruise line. I will not name who they are. And they led me on for about 5 months. And I moved home being like, cool, I have this job. Like, they said it, I'm going to get it. But then they stopped responding to my emails until 5 months later, at which point I was already at home working two jobs, just like saving money. And then they pretty much told me, they're like, oh yeah, you're not right for that part. 5 months later.
Unknown cruise ship.
Shady cruise ship. But because of that, I moved to New York. So like, it all worked out in the end. I was super upset, feeling like I had wasted my summer, but in which fact, I had saved up enough money to move to New York. Moved to New York, booked another cruise line as a lead.
There you go.
And then that's actually where I made my connection to Tara Rubin, which made my connection to Aladdin.
Did you come back to New York with representation when you first came?
No.
So how did you do that?
I went to open calls. I came back to New York. I got a job at a restaurant. And on the Upper East Side, I lived in Harlem. So my commute was stupid. I don't know why I chose that, but it was a good restaurant. And then, yeah, I just would go to open calls. I had a few invitations because I kind of had some connections, but not really. But my cruise ship job was Mamma Mia. I played Sky on Royal Caribbean. And that was fully open call with like 400 people, which was nuts.
I
rose to the top to play Sky.
I did not plan that, but you really slam dunked that. That was great. When you booked Aladdin, you had representation by then, right?
I did. I did. When I got back from the cruise, I ended up getting representation through some of my castmates.
There you go.
Or I had a connection through them. But I actually was invited because Eric Woodall, who is a casting of Tara Rubin, was my director for Mamma Mia. And so it was just this, like, happenstance.
There you go.
Which is usually how it is. Like, it really is. It's not, I wish it was just talent-based, and you could walk in a room and blow everyone away and people would care, but unfortunately it is very much about connections that you make.
Yeah, who you know.
Yeah, who you know. And Eric Woodall happens to be one of the most, he's actually not with Tara Rubin anymore, he moved to North Carolina, but he was the most supportive person I've ever met in this industry. He just truly nurtures an artist, and he's the reason I'm in Aladdin. Like, he pushed me through all the rounds. Aww. And would tell me what it is I needed to fix and tweak, because he believed in me, which is crazy because I didn't really know him. But yeah, it kind of takes things like that, which is rare.
It takes a village.
Yo, 100%. My dog tends to ignore dogs unless they come up to her, and then she's like, what are you? But then on the street she wants to say hi to every dog, but then freaks out after she says hi to every dog. She's just like, she's silly.
Are dogs better than humans?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, 100%. Oh my goodness, you have something in your teeth.
Oh, it's gum. How long have you seen it though?
I don't know, I just saw it.
Well, I don't think it. It's gonna go.
That was the first time I saw it, so I don't think it's that noticeable.
I'm gonna put text up. Like, the video starts, it's gonna be like 45 minutes into interview, and then it's gonna say, you said, oh my gosh, you have something in your teeth. You know, the thing about my dad saying, you'll never know unless you ask, what's the worst that's gonna happen, you say no, or don't ask at all and ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
The third is, you're not a real friend unless you tell your friend that they got something on their face or in their teeth or in their eyes or something.
Yes.
I hate that.
I hate it too.
You're like, man, that was a great night. Go to the bathroom, you look at in the mirror, and you're like, it's like, I don't know.
Yes!
All over the place.
That is a pet peeve of mine, so I do try when I see it to be like, ah. Because if you're my friend, tell me. We adopted Penny 2 years ago, right before I got Aladdin, actually. We adopted Penny. My boyfriend and I grown up with dogs. We love dogs. Dogs are the best. And we had wanted dogs for a while, but it's hard in the city to have a dog. And it's also hard in the city to have a dog when you don't really have a great paying job. Or it can be. And so we had been thinking about it seriously for a long time. We had even gone to some, like, ASPCA and met some dogs that we thought we would like and then freaked out. But with Penny, it just, the stars aligned. I got off, at the time I was working at Fish's Eddie. Have you been to Fish's Eddie? It's a kitchen store in Union Square. And I was working at Fish's Eddie. I got let out early and it was fully snowing. And there was a truck right outside of Petco, like the mobile Muddy Paws rescue shelter.
Yeah.
And of course I was like, you shouldn't go in because you're going to walk away with a dog. But I did go in, and then I called Sean because all the dogs were amazing. And he happened to be off, also got let out of work early, right when I called him. So he came down right away, and then we ended up going home with Penny.
Can I get a dog?
Truly, I was the one, because Sean was the one who really, really wanted a dog. And
I
absolutely wanted a dog, but I knew it was going to take me to be like, adopt this dog. And he would do it. And then the next day, we both had the biggest anxiety attacks we've ever had in our lives. Because we were both at work, we went right back to work, and we're like, we have a puppy, a 5-month-old puppy that we cannot support at our house, freaking out right now.
That's good.
And it was fine, because she's perfect.
I like to ask my Disney guests this, and talk to my clients about it as well that are in Disney shows. Do you have, like, the geek out moment when you first started Aladdin, when you, like, looked back to your, like, bubbly VHS case of Aladdin and the multiple times you watched it, and you're like, I'm in that show. Like, I'm in Disney's Aladdin.
Yeah. Well, even more so because my actual Broadway debut was as Aladdin. Even though I came in as an ensemble understudy Aladdin, I ended up going on a week before my actual debut as Aladdin on a Saturday matinee. And
were you, like, peeing your pants?
I was the most zen I've ever been in my life. Nice. I just, like, because I had my put in the day before. They called me that morning. We're like, you're going to go on. Is that cool? I was like, yeah, cool. This is what I've dreamed of my entire life. And it happens to be a dream role that I've always just, you know. I mean, I grew up watching Aladdin and being like, I look like him. That's cool. And being able to sing his songs and then being able to do that, you know, 15 years in the future, standing on a Broadway stage with a full Broadway orchestra playing Alan Menken's music is unreal. And I still have moments like that, which are really nice because, like I said, it's kind of a day job now. And it is a job, and it's always been. And so every now and then to check in the middle of Arabian Nights where you're doing this, like, crazy choreography with the whole Broadway cast, to be like, oh, crap, wow. Like, this is it. That's cool.
Amazing. Well, Jacob, thank you for being on Built for the Stage podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Instagram TV. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Come check out Jacob in Aladdin on the Broadway.
On the Broadway.
And we will see you guys when we see you.
Ah.
From Bryant Park.
Bye.
Ping pong and all. Bye.
And that'll do it with Jacob Dickey. Love that laugh. Such an infectious laugh, right? Really good soul, really talented guy. Check him out on the gram once again, at Big Ugly Jacob. We learned where he got that nickname. Pretty funny. Once again, please rate, subscribe, comment, follow us on Instagram at Built for the Stage. If you want to try a free trial, just DM me or go to the website builtforthestage.com. Until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode
of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.